I don't know any other way to say this and just jump right in. All week long, I've been worried about going to hell. Becky has a caravan going, she says. So here's what happens. We're right at the end of Broadway. We've been doing it for several weeks, all July. And I see this article in a Christian magazine. And it's about stop doing church at the movies. Stop doing church at the movies. So the articles talked about how all over the United States during the month of July, I thought it was just us, churches do at the movie series. We're doing anything we can to get people into church during the summer. So listen to this. This is the article. Churchgoers take their seats on a Sunday morning as the lights dim and The Sandlot or Mary Poppins or some other movie appears on the big screen. Between movie clips, a pastor comes on and ties the lessons from the clip to Christ and the Christian life. And this is typical of church at the movies. All right, here we go. It may be entertaining. It may be edifying. But it's not biblical. God is to be feared, honored, and respected. He has the power to destroy both soul and body in hell. God has told us how he is to be worshiped, and he does not want us to go outside of what he has commanded, no matter how well-intentioned. And then there's this story from Leviticus. Usually those are nicer stories, but this one's... Now, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron was a priest, each took his censer and put fire in it and laid incense on it and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them. So evidently, if we try to do things out of the ordinary, it displeases God, and we're consumed by fire, and we go to hell. And I think Broadway's bound to be worse than the movies. And so I can just imagine people saying, Pastor, Broadway, shouldn't you focus on Scripture? Shouldn't we be studying the Bible? Well, of course. But not alone. Let me remind you of a few things. Before books were widely available, and that was centuries and centuries after Jesus, before books were widely available, Bible stories were shared primarily through oral tradition, public readings, communal gatherings, and visual art and drama. Because copying text by hand onto scrolls was incredibly expensive and time-consuming and required skilled scribes, so ordinary people didn't have access to the scriptures. So long before they were written down, biblical stories were passed by word of mouth from generation to generation, especially rhythmic storytelling and songs and telling the Psalms were sung because it's easier to memorize that way. And have you ever thought about this? The stained glass, all that art in those cathedrals? Think about them. They were telling the biblical stories to people who were not able to read them for themselves. In fact, they called the stained glass windows that depicted scenes from the Bible for the poor. And during major religious holidays, and some of you may have been to some of these pageants, clergy and community members would stage plays and pageants on the church steps or in town squares. These mystery and passion plays dramatized stories like the creation, the nativity, the passion of the Christ. And during all of this, when people were being creative about how they would share the stories, the Bible itself was being kept hostage by the church. In fact, the first English translation of the whole Bible that didn't happen until the 1380s, The first English translation by John Wycliffe was outlawed by the Catholic Church. Because by keeping the Bible in Latin, the church could ensure that it owned the interpretations and the explanations of what happened in that scripture. Another reason for the prohibition of Bible translations into common languages was the political and social dynamics of the time. The church played a crucial role in shaping the cultural and intellectual and political landscape of medieval Europe. And if they controlled access to the Bible, then it helped them to maintain their influence and authority over the masses. And finally, the church's prohibition of Bible translations into local languages was also influenced by the economic interest of clergy members and the church hierarchy, because the church held significant wealth and property during that time period, and maintaining control over religious teachings and practices was crucial for preserving its stability, especially its financial stability and influence. So here's where I ended up. Not only is it okay to present the Bible on Broadway, it is our duty. And so we get to this week's musical, The Bridges of Madison County. Jason Robert Brown's score for The Bridges of Madison County is gorgeous. It's diverse. The story it tells is as simple as it gets. Woman is leading an unfulfilled life. Husbands and kids leave for the week. Handsome stranger shows up. Fireworks. Before he leaves, he asks her to go with him. Excuse me. She is presented with a choice that rocks her world. One of the things I want you to notice this morning is that the musical styles reflect the personality of each character. We will meet Francesca, the farm wife. Her music features lush, classical, almost operatic arias and influences, while Robert, the handsome photographer that shows up, he sings sort of a contemporary folk rock. And the husband, Bud, the unsuspecting farmer, he sings sort of a rural country folk. Pay attention to all this beautiful diversity of the music as we listen. We'll start with Francesca. In the musical, we meet her first, which is a little unusual because usually the company or some ensemble offers the opening number, and it's not until a little later that characters begin to differentiate. But the composers of this musical, The Bridges of Madison County, created a whole backstory for Francesca that we didn't see in the movie, and they want that front and center. So the musical starts with Francesca. Listen to the melodies, to the operatic feeling of the music and the magic of her voice, but also pay attention to the words. Because while her voice is beautiful, magical, flowing, her song is largely about the everyday, even the mundane. So she'll start talking about being a young girl in Italy at 18, leaving her home country to go to the States with an American GI. And then she starts singing about the farm and this aria, this beautiful music, blade of grass, ear of corn, bale of hay. And then she says, I changed my words, I changed my name, the fields go dry. The horse goes lame. The county fair, the football game. For 18 years, it stays the same. There's a whole life of story in her first song. Thank you.
fields of America. And blade of grass by blade of grass, and ear of corn by ear of corn, and bale of hay by day, they build themselves a home. And home is safe, and home is fair, the porch, the bath, the kitchen chair, the sharp and unfamiliar air, that blow by blow, she comes to know, to build herself a home. I learn to speak, I learn to sew, I learn to let the longing go, the tractor wheel, a foot of snow, I build myself a home. I change my words, I change my name, the fields go dry, the horse goes lame, the county fair, the football game, for 18 years, it stays the same, for 18 years, I'm proud I came, and
in 1965, Iowa, Francesca Johnson reflects on her journey from war-ravaged Italy to rural America. Her husband, Bud, and their two teenage children leave for a four-day trip to the Indiana State Fair. Seeking solitude, Francesca is unexpectedly interrupted when Robert Kincaid, a ruggedly handsome photographer on assignment to shoot Madison County's covered bridges, drives into her yard to ask for directions. Charmed, Francesca offers to ride with him and show him the way. And they bond over their shared experiences and mutual feelings of isolation. They share a dinner, and suddenly the wife of a farmer, the mother of two, the cook, the house cleaner, feels something she hasn't felt in years. She feels seen. Is there anything more attractive? He looked at me and it wasn't the look I expected. No, he looked at me like he really could see. Quietly, this stranger and I, we connected when he looked at me. Pay attention, though, because as wonderful as it seems, she does get to this point. Just look at me, at my hands, at my mouth, at my shoulder. Talk to me like there's something to say. In this minute, I'm not getting older, but please, just look at me. And then, please walk away.
Brighter, for sure there's a change in the air. It's like something I wasn't aware of.
you walked on that bridge with her hair blowing in this breeze. I am looking for the light. I am looking for the light. I am looking for.
Of the girl that I was before now, before him, before then. It's remarkable just to remember how it feels. Just look at me, at my hands, at my mouth, at my shoulder. Talk to me like there's something to say. Suddenly, in this minute, getting older, please just look at me, and then please walk away. Don't offer your hand. Don't reach for my waist.
And he falls as fast and as hard as she does. He says, and maybe after all these years of looking for a home, a woman in a farmhouse held the key. There's nothing in this world today but who we are and who we're meant to be.
Maybe you sleep so peaceful 'cause you haven't got a worry in your head. Or maybe you keep your eyes closed 'cause you never have to get out of this bed. But you don't have to make the toast or get the kids to school. Just rest your head, stay here close to me. There's nothing in this world today but who we are and who we wanna be. And maybe I'm being selfish. I should get my things and walk out of that door. Maybe we both deserve this, and besides, how could I keep from wanting more? But lying here with curtains drawn, your hair across my chest, I can't think what else I would need to see. There's nothing in this world today but who we are and who we wanna be. Oh, farmhouse held the key. There's nothing in this world today but who we are and who we're meant to be.
Just like that, it started. The critics, otherwise known as the church, went crazy over the bridges of Madison County. I brought together a few of the pastor's comments and sermons about the movie and the musical, and I thought I would share them with you. Here we go. Several weeks ago, I took my bride to a show at the Cultural Arts Center in Tempe. The show was The Bridges of Madison County. My bride is an old soul. She loves movies such as Driving Miss Daisy and Steel Magnolias, and I thought this was one of the movies she would like. She asked me, "Do you know what The Bridges of Madison County is about?" I said, "No, I don't." She proceeded to give me the rundown of what takes place in this movie and what we will be watching when we go on our date. Needless to say, The Bridges of Madison County has a very different moral tenor than the previously mentioned movies. My sermon isn't a summary of the show, the movie. It's not a critique of the acting or singing. It is, however, a collection of thoughts I gleaned with regards to the ever so subtle actions by an individual that many times lead to an adulterous relationship. Here's some observations I made as I watched the show. One, the night before the adulterous relationship takes place, Robert Kincaid says to himself, "It won't happen." He seems to know where his heart is and tries to convince himself that there's no way he'll go there with Francesca Johnson. But the power of touch. He touches her. She touches him. And in those moments, you get a glimpse of the power of touch. Why would you ever physically interact with someone who isn't your spouse in a way that could ever be perceived as inappropriate or allow someone else to do the same with your spouse? Okay, he's got a point. But, oh my gosh, they share a meal together. A meal is an intimate exchange. It is not one you need to be having with someone of the opposite sex. I don't know what he would say to us. Point. Someone is out of town. Your spouse's physical presence is a grace. Be mindful of the increased temptation Satan brings into your life when your husband, wife is out of town. There are several times where logic and common sense had seemingly kicked in, but it's ultimately refused. Here's some good advice. In those moments where you're lucid, you need to understand that clarity of thought is a grace of God prompting you to think accurately about sin and the consequences it brings. Just think of all you can avoid if you will think constantly about sin and the consequences it brings. Robert Kincaid says several times, "There's nothing else in the world today but who we are and who we want to be, and I love you more than my own life." That, my friends, says the preacher, is the essence of sin. I want what I want more than anything else or anyone else. Now, if that isn't a sobering picture and deceptive nature of sin, I'm not sure what is. Okay, that's how some preachers chose to look at it. Well, I bet the preachers really hated this next song, because it brings God right on in. For the first time in my life, I am not outside the moment with a camera in between me and the world. For the first time in my life, I am risking something precious. I am asking you, Francesca, come with me. All I know is in all of the time from man's first breath to God's last warning, you and I are just 1 second spinning by in one split second. You and I have just 1 second and a million miles to go.
For the first time in my life, I am not outside the moment with a camera in between me and the world I think I know. For the first time in my life, I am somehow part of something. You surround me, you connect me, and I think I can't let go. For the first time in my life, you have opened up a channel. There is nothing to contain us. We are joined and we are free. For the first time in my life, I am risking something precious. I am asking you, Francesca, come with me. I can't tell you I know what the future will be. Who knows anything? I just look at those eyes. You've got so much to see. Let me show you there's crowds and camels and hillsides to climb. All I know is in all of the time from man's first breath to God's last warning, you and I are just 1 second spinning by in one split second. You and I have just 1 second and a million. I don't need something new.
I don't want to go back to a world without you.
All I need, all I've needed my whole life was you.
If I left this behind,
please just look at me. You were born with a wanderer's soul. This is how you begin to be whole. The stars keep burning, worlds keep turning.
Something I don't
The answer will be, it's impossible, but this thing, this is bigger than what we can see. This is destiny. We are tied, we are locked, we are bound. This will not be reversed or unwound. Whatever fate the stars are weaving, we're not brave.
A new word this week, maudlin. The simple definition of maudlin is showing or expressing too much emotion, especially in a foolish or annoying way. Often, alcohol is involved. Many of the critics who didn't condemn the story for its condoning of infidelity called it maudlin, talked about how the music manipulated our feelings and made us overly sentimental and made us think it was okay for a person to run away from their spouse and their children. And, well, that's all fine and good if that's what you choose to do with the musical. I don't in any way mean to make light of fidelity, infidelity, the promises that we make to one another, the covenants, the choices that we make. But I wanted to share with you what some people choose to do when confronted with a beautiful piece of art that invites you into the conversation, that invites you to think about some big topics and some important things. You can choose to go down a little narrow road of what takes people to hell. You can choose to go down a little road of not liking your feelings and emotions to be toyed with. But do you remember where we started this series with this story? A long time ago, a wise old Sufi was making his annual pilgrimage to Mecca. But it was a long walk for him, and the sun was high. Having averaged more than 20 miles a day, once Mecca was in sight, the old man decided to lie down on the side of the road and rest up for his final leg of the journey. Minutes later, one of the other pilgrims walking by violently kicked his feet. "Get up," he commanded, "you blasphemer. You lie with your feet pointed toward God at the holy mosque. Not your feet, but your face should be turned toward God. What kind of Sufi are you?" And the wise old Sufi opened his tired eyes and said, "I thank you, holy sir. Now, if you would kindly point to a direction where God is not, I will gladly move my feet there. I want to remind you this morning of a verse from the Bible written by the Apostle Paul in one of his books. It's a simple one. Many of you probably know it. From Romans, the 12th chapter. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that, I want you to listen to me, so that you may discern what is the will of God. As we read the newspaper, as we go to a show, as we watch a movie, as we listen to a new recording from one of our favorite artists, we get to decide what to do with it. When we share a meal with someone, we get to decide what that means and what we do with it. When people are talking about banning books, we get to decide, hopefully, what it means to us and what we want to do with it. And if we choose to find many roads to hell, we can. And if we choose to find many horrible messages and ways that people have failed God, we can. But we also can look at the world around us and the beauty and the art and the music, and we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And with prayer and study and an open mind, we can discern what is the will of God for us. Our theme for this year has been choices, chances, and changes. And we've invited you to think about lots of diverse things. How welcoming are we in the church of people with neurodivergence that don't look at everything exactly maybe like we do? And what does it mean when a passion takes hold of your life and you want to pursue your art or whatever it is above anything else? And what happens when love demands brave changes? And what about those people who don't have choices at all? That they find themselves in circumstances where they have to survive and they don't have the luxury of morality. We are coming to the end of our Broadway series. We have one more song. You are going to hear Francesca sing as she's making her decision. You could have driven into someone else's driveway. You could have tried to find the bridge another day. I could have gone off to the fair or locked the door, washed my hair, and in a way, that would be better. We could have chosen to ignore what we were feeling. We could have prayed to make the wanting go away, but what we did is that we loved, and love is always better. Many of you know the choice that she made. I'm not going to tell you because that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is this invitation that I am offering to you now. Now is the time to think about these things. Now is the time to have conversations. I hope you saw that during our Broadway series. The time to find your center is now. Is it your passion? Is it your art? Is it your creator? The time to create your personal ethic, your understanding of God's will for your life is now, not when you're faced with the plot of a Broadway musical. The time to tell the people in your life what you need, what you miss, what you dream of, what you regret is now. As you hear this final song, I invite you to think about those things. And when you leave here today, I invite you to find your spouse, your partner, your best friends, and talk to them about the bridges of Madison County and say, what choice would you have made? And why? And this is the choice I would have made. And why? And talk about the things that matter. And invite your friend that you know hasn't painted in forever, who hasn't made a piece of pottery in forever, who has quit sewing. Ask them if they wouldn't love to get back to that creativity. Engage with the world around you in every way that you can. And as you listen to this final song, if you would like to send us prayer requests or notes to the office, there are QR codes on the cards in the backs of your seats. If you would like to offer your offerings during this time, you will see ways that you can do that. The time to get in touch with who you are and who you're meant to be is now.
You could have driven into someone else's driveway. You could have tried to find the bridge another day. I could have gone off to the fair, or locked the door, or washed my hair. And in a way, that would be better. We could have chosen to ignore what we were feeling. We could have prayed to make the wanting go away. But what we did is that we loved. Always better. I could have gone with you and left behind the cornfields. I could have seen a world like none I'd ever known. I could have tied my dreams to yours, slept beside you on the moors, and who can say that might be better? I could have not been where my children turned for answers, and never seen what they've become now that they're grown. But what I did is that I loved. Is always better. It is hard, it is insane to place one love above another. But what a choice, and what a gift.
Split.
reckon you and I have just one second and a minute.